When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
On the latest episode of The Other Side.
Return to Zombie Bigfoot's Cryptid Crypt concludes with our sequel to last year's monster battle, Zombie Bigfoot Scary 16 Monster Showdown 2.
And if you thought last year's battle between classic film monsters and classic creatures of high strangeness was wild, we'll get ready for the nun on a speedboat.
To listen, go to patreon.com/Bigfoot Collectors Club.
Bigfoot Collectors Club presents
Terrifying Tales from Zombie Bigfoot's Cryptid Crypt! I know a ghost story about you!
Well, hello everybody and welcome to Bigfoot Collectors Club, the show where we talk to amazing... Look, I can't even get through today's intro, Riley. I'm terrified.
Yeah.
Halloween ended. It's over. The spooky month should be over, but... Look, right. I'm your host, Michael McMillan. With me always is super producer...
Riley Bray.
Obviously not with us is Bryce Johnson. Mm-hmm. He's been missing all month long, and I'm just terrified because did you see all the messages we got from last week's episode?
I did. Yeah, I did. I did see those.
Okay, where do I start? So we found out at the tail end after it was a Marvel movie or something, after the episode ends, you can hear Bryce calling to the listeners for help, and he says he's not alone.
Yeah, I didn't edit. I can say that, and I haven't actually heard it yet.
I've listened to it over and over and over again. Let me just play it back for those of you who missed it last week. Co-host Bryce Johnson, like, coming in out of nowhere at the end of last week's episode. Let's just check this out.
Hello? Listeners? Can you hear me? It's Bryce. I need help. I'm trapped in a strange and mysterious place, and I'm not alone. Save me.
What?
Oh, my God.
He sounds scared. Whoa. Okay, it went to ad. That was even scarier. I don't know what to do. What does that mean, Riley?
I have no idea. He's messing.
What was that?
Right? What? I thought that was you. What was that?
No, that was not me.
Foolish mortal dudes! I am Neonis, overlord of the jet ski dimension. Your compatriot, Bryce O. Johnson, is trapped in my whirlpool of infinity. If you want back, you dudes must record the BCC Jet Ski Special.
Whoa, wait, what?
God, and it better be gnarly.
Okay, I'm sorry, Neonis? We have a couple questions, real quick up top.
More than a few, yeah.
Okay, it's weird because he kind of sounded like a surfer guy, and then he got a little British there at the end. I don't know what's happening. Okay, wait. Let me just clarify two things. One, there is a jet ski dimension, and Bryce is a prisoner there in something called the Whirlpool of Infinity.
Yes. What part of that did you not comprehend, compadre?
Wait a minute, also hold on, just to get the timeline straight. So in order to free Bryce, we have to record an episode that we're already planning to record. That's the idea, Neonis.
Okay, well, we can't record the episode without Bryce. Can you at least free him from this whirlpool long enough so that he can do the show?
Fine. I'll free Bryce only for the Jatsky special record. But if this special sucks, all 3D dudes will be joining me in the Jatsky dimension for like ever.
Wait, what?
Hasta la vista, BCC. Catch you later.
What?
Whoa.
Dude, that guy had a weird vibe.
That's crazy. Bryce is trapped in the jet ski dimension, and we have to film the jet ski special or record it? The rules were unclear. Do we have to film something or record it? What is this special even going to be?
I mean, we got to get some more notes from Neonis. He seems to have a vision, so he's at least an executive producer on the project at this point.
Yeah, I don't know how, if we're like going to contact him back or how this is going to work out. This is wild. All I know is we got to save Bryce, but we also have a show to do right now. So maybe we just get this episode out of the way. We do this episode, and then we will get to work trying to figure out how to free Bryce from the jet ski dimension. How's that sound?
I think we need to find some jet skis. That seems to be the,
that's true. And we need to have not a climate disaster happening so that we can actually go someplace to record it.
Or we select a place or to get those jet skis. Yes.
Do you think Neonis was behind the oil spill? Man.
That would be seriously harsh of his non-mellowness, my dude.
All right, well, I'm worried, but we got a show. We got guests waiting. I'm sure they're going to have some advice for us. But before we get into it, guys, just a reminder that BCC, obviously now we're going to have to. We're going to take a hiatus until January. The free feed is going to take a little break. We're going to go work on the jet ski special and freeing Bryce. But stuff is still going to drop here. We're going to have some Patreon unlocks. We're going to have some fun surprises, hopefully a jet ski special that frees Bryce. So stay subscribed because you will still get something every Wednesday here on the free feed. But the Patreon of the other side, that keeps going like usual. So, I mean, obviously, like, we don't know what this means for Bryce on the Patreon. Maybe Neonis will like let him come do the Patreon while we're doing it. I don't know. We have to.
It seems like there's Wi-Fi in the jet ski dimension.
Yeah, it seems like Bryce has access to the podcast. So maybe that'll happen. I don't know. But the free feed's taken a little bit of a break, but we will be back at the top of 2022 with regular new episodes. But stay with us between now and then. And look, you got this great episode today with two amazing guests. They're two of your favorite guests on BCC. One of them is a medium and an intuitive. The other is a witch doctor. They're both published authors. They do a podcast together called The Witch and the Medium. Club Scouts of all timelines, please welcome back to the show Adela Levine and Mystic Dylan.
All right.
Yay!
Dela, is that what it sounds like when spirits from the other side talk to you?
It must be.
Well,
right?
I mean, if it sounds, you know, I'm happy to welcome Keanu Reeves, Bill and Ted sounding spirits, especially Keanu Reeves, anytime. So, yeah, sure.
I'm pretty sure Dela's been to the jet ski dimension.
Maybe you can prepare us a little.
Anyone can go to the jet ski dimension. It's her.
Yeah. Especially if Keanu's on the other side.
I mean, but he kidnapped Bryce.
It's okay. It's Keanu. Okay. It's all right. He can do what he wants.
Maybe.
But I would help Bryce.
Okay.
Actually, I'd be happy to help Bryce and talk with this Keanu-esque type of demon.
Okay.
You know. Yeah.
Great. All right. Yeah. We love it. Let's stay in touch. Let's figure this out.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Look, as we're recording this, Still, obviously, because this podcast is haunted now. It's the spooky season. How is the spooky season for going for you two?
It's spooky. It's stressful. I'm going to be honest. I feel like during this time, I don't know if I'm standing, sitting, sleeping. I don't know where I am. I think I'm in another dimension. I'm embracing it, but also it's a lot. And I feel like people have a lot of pent up. No one did anything last October, so I think all the crazy is out.
Well, I remember last time you were on the show, or not last time, but when you were on the show this time last year, we were talking, or on the Patreon, we were talking about Mercury in retrograde. And I know that, you know, we recently got over like a Mercury in retrograde moment, and it fucking beat me up. Like nothing worked for those like 3 or 4 weeks. So maybe you're experiencing some shadow of retrograde right now.
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, I think I'm experiencing that. I think, I don't know. I just feel like people are like, obviously this is a time where people get into the spooky, funky mode, but I feel like it's like some next level. I'm pretty sure Spirit Halloween should pay me as a sponsor.
Well,
okay.
There we go. Adela and I are working a party together.
Ooh.
Yes, that will be interesting.
And this is actually the first time we've spoken.
Yes, yes. We just, so everybody know, we have a podcast in theory together, but we have a lot of backlog you can listen to. Dylan's obviously been in some other dimension because I haven't, that I can't get to. Apparently,
yeah.
He has put some spell or something to, you know, well, we haven't been able to talk, but we're happy we'll be able to play when we see each other. I mean, for me, this is, you know, weirdly enough, it's not too different. Obviously, it's not too different for me. Dylan knows this, and I've talked about this, like the spirit world is the same any other day, but people get more into, they want to have fun, I've noticed this year, and I get more innovated by people wanting to talk to the dead and stuff like that in the holidays, like November, December.
Right.
Not so much this time. People kind of want to just, they don't want the real deal. They want, you know, a more playful, especially probably this year, which is totally understandable.
Well, isn't the idea, I mean, that the veil gets thinner this time of year anyway?
Well, this is where me and Dylan differ. I mean, I don't believe that to be true. I believe we've talked about it. We kind of see a little bit of the same. That for me, I just think people are more aware of this time, so they're paying attention to what's already existing. Because you guys know I've always said that realm is with us all the time. But I've noticed that people are more alert. It's just like when you go to a cemetery, you're more alert. That's just my belief. And, you know, I think Dylan has a different take on it, which is totally fine, which is, you know, what our podcast is about, you know, the different sides. And for me, it's not any thinner than any other time, but I think I like it because everybody is with me. So I'm like excited. Everybody wants to talk to the dead more and be a part of that world more. I wish people would do it all year round.
Yeah, I think this time is just a reminder of death. I mean, if you look at the origins of the holiday or what this is about, like theoretically, you know, they say, oh, this is the time that it's thinner. But I also think it's like this is a time when we are prepping for the winter and the harsh winters. And you have to think of these civilizations where there was probably a high mortality rate during this time. So I think it's more as time went on. This is the time to acknowledge death, but I don't necessarily think that, you know, energetically, this is like the time when the veil is thin. But I think these are when the stories about death are made. These are the holidays where people honor their ancestors. So I think it just makes it, you know, it's kind of like repetition. So when something becomes so poignant, I think, energetically and spiritually and whatever, this is the time where I think people are like, okay, this is there. So if everyone is focusing on death during this time, it makes it more encompassing. But I think Adele is right in the sense that it's like, I think on a mundane level as a person, we're not necessarily reminded of those moments until they hit us in the face. And, you know, you really can't escape this time when you go into like CVS and there are skeletons everywhere.
Yeah, I totally agree. And don't you think, Dylan, like, I mean, just like period, doesn't everybody notice? I mean, doesn't it make sense? Like, this is when everything's dying, right? The leaves are dying.
Yeah, this is, you know, and then it's kind of like, you know, if you were a farmer or whatever, this was, or way back when, not now, but like this was when you would like, you know, slaughter your cattle and like preserve the meat and all that stuff. Mm. So it really was a time of death. That's why it's called the blood moon. Or October is known as the blood moon, because this is when you would like start killing off your cattle.
Mm. Damn.
For the lovely winter. Image. Yeah. Thanks, Dylan.
You're welcome.
Or like storing your lentils or whatever.
You know. For the vegetarians out there.
Yeah. For all the vegetarians, this is where you would be slaughtering your vegetables.
Exactly.
They do get slaughtered. I mean, to be fair, yeah.
If you believe in animism, that everything has a spirit or energy, yeah, they're killed.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the carnival of nightmares that's happening on your cutting board every night, Riley.
Yeah, Riley. Nice job.
Yeah, Riley.
Yeah, Riley.
Well, we have the two of you here tonight to dig into some L files, some listener files. Mm. These are stories sent into us from Club Scouts across the world, around the world, I should say, unless you're a flat earther.
Across.
Yeah.
Unless you're walking, then you're walking across or sliding. Plane. Sliding across to the end.
So I think we should just hop right into them. I want to thank everybody who wrote into BigfootCollectorsClub@gmail.com with some L files. We're running a little low in the tank. We appreciate it. You guys also took my note to keep it a little shorter than they've been going, so I appreciate that as well. If you have a spooky story, something that you can't explain that happened to you, please send it to us at BigfootCollectorsClub@gmail.com and hopefully you'll get somebody rad like Adela or Mystic Dylan to give their two cents on your experience. Why don't we just hop right in? Riley, do you want to kick us off with the first one that you've got down there? Just scroll past. I know what I did, but just scroll past my first letter and
okay, gotcha. Yeah, I can do that. Okay, yeah, I'm scrolling. Man, you're good at buying time while you look for things on your phone. Okay. It's a real skill. Michael's, he's like a tight, he's watching a tightrope walker. It's amazing. All right. This story is entitled Zombie.
Ooh.
Hey guys, I'll keep the praise short. Love the pod. Love you guys. Aw, love you back. I want to share with you a story that's very similar to one you read in another L-Files episode. In that story, a person in their car saw what they could only describe as a zombie, and their partner, also in the car, asked, "What the hell is that?" proving the first person wasn't hallucinating.
I think, Adela, you were here on the show for that letter. It was like Yeah, I think it might have been or maybe it was Jen, but I remember we talked about it later. I think it's
okay.
Go on. I remember this letter. They were driving past like an old farmhouse, and there was like some weird zombie-looking thing in the field.
Yeah.
And then they went back. They didn't see it anymore.
Oh, nice. I like zombies.
Anyhow, the letter continues. We all like zombies, let's be real.
America has spoken. We love zombies.
We love zombies.
That's true. Yeah. Really hits
Dylan
America.
Doesn't like zombies.
No? Not a fan?
No, he doesn't.
But I'm also not America, so.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding. No, I'm not.
Dylan, very defiant.
You conformists. Anyhow, letter that I was reading. I never ever heard a similar story, nor found anything online about it, so I was amazed by that listener's story. In my story, I was 24. It was around 4 p.m. I was sitting on the bus next to the window, and when the bus took a turn, I had a couple seconds, maybe five, to have a good look at the corner of the sidewalk. I'm attaching a small image to explain myself. Okay,
I'll put that up on the Instagram.
Righto. I was looking out the window, and in that corner there was an old woman, not transparent or blurry, just like a physical person, standing with normal clothes and hair, but her face was nightmarish. No nose, just two holes, no lips, totally white eyes, and her cheeks melting down, making the red area under the eyes very, very visible and red. It wasn't a deserted street, so people around probably would have noticed her too. I felt a level of dread I have never experienced before. My eyes were stuck on her, and after she was gone from my field of vision, I looked around the bus if anybody was reacting discreetly to this. No one was. I felt the urge to get down the bus a couple of stops later and text friends about it. I felt so alone, I just had to share it with someone for comfort. Some friends said it could have just been someone who suffered burn injuries or something similar, but I highly doubt it. It looked way more intense and otherworldly than, say, Gary Oldman in Hannibal, and was walking casually without any aid in the streets. Nothing strange has ever happened to me but this, and the feeling of dread and need to communicate with someone was a feeling I never felt since. Keep up the amazing work, guys. Regards from Argentina.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, what's your take on that? Quick.
I love the abrupt endings. It's my favorite.
Well, that's it. Zombies game. Gotta go. Anyways,
zombies are real. I saw one. You guys are great.
Gotta go to McDonald's now.
Argentina.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I don't know. I feel like, I guess I have to be honest, my first feeling was that, you know how you've ever seen things like kind of in a weird lighting or, you know, something like that. I mean... What did I say? I guess I've seen things like that. You know, when you're kind of into this sort of thing, and sometimes you really see something, and sometimes you're like, well, it was the angle and the lighting, and it totally looked creepy. I mean, I've seen things that you can't explain, obviously, but I just kind of feel like it could be something like that, or it could be like a It does kind of feel like, I feel like their friend is pretty, that's just my sense. Could be
what
someone
about
who,
the
is a burn victim.
Of dread though, Adela, the overwhelming sense of dread.
I mean, wouldn't you feel dread if you saw somebody who's like a burn victim? I mean, that's going to ignite a lot of sadness and uncomfortableness. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think I kind of go for, because, you know, when people come to me, which happens a lot in DMs and other things about stories like this, I kind of go for more that feeling, like I said, where you're like, just something's in the air. I can't explain. I want to be able to explain it. And I looked for all of those things, but it just hits me in my gut that something's off. And the dread, I just kind of feel like it could be like a burn victim or something. Who it can ignite all of the pain or something.
Well, it's now just, this club scout, you should feel bad for calling a burn victim.
I know.
What?
Exactly what I was thinking. I'm like, wow, you just made fun of a burn victim.
I screwed up.
But I also think, I mean, you know, I don't necessarily believe in the walking dead per se, but I do think that, you know, I think spirits can appear in many different forms. Mm-hmm. So I don't think they saw like a living, not breathing person. Maybe they just saw some trickster element or something along those lines. Or someone who was a burn victim or had leprosy or some other disease.
Yeah, it's true. Disfigurement can be like it's a real thing. So it's
right.
Like, yeah. Someone could honestly look like what was described as, or also maybe someone in the throes of like extreme drug addiction too. Like,
absolutely.
I was just going to say that, Riley, because I remember, yeah, that's what I was going to say.
The white eyes and the red underneath and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It sounds
pretty scary.
The melting
off flesh and exposing red muscle tissue underneath, though, that feels strange to me. I don't know. I mean, it could be all the above. It could be.
It could be that this person also is maybe very intuitive, and they saw the physical form of a person already experiencing a lot of suffering, and then maybe in their vision saw even kind of more depth of that. Maybe
that's what I was saying, Riley.
Hey, Riley.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, you can see something and see what's going on with someone and then immediately kind of tune in to that person's pain. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I agree with that.
Which would also explain the sense of dread.
You saw an outward manifestation of their inner
pain.
Turmoil.
Yeah, maybe you're an empath.
Yeah.
I'm into it. I mean, I don't want to see it, but I'm into it. All right, here's one a little closer to home. This says, greetings from Central Massachusetts. Ooh. This event happened to me back in June. One night, as I was drifting off to sleep under the covers, I felt something bop my left foot. It was as if something was standing beside the bed and had gently swatted my foot with their hand. I'm picturing, this is Michael speaking, I'm picturing like a little cat, like a little kitten bopping your foot.
Mm.
Little cat swat.
Yeah.
They go on. I even heard the sound of something strike the blanket. Obviously, I was startled. I live alone. I have no pets. So I turned on the light and investigated, but found nothing. I decided I had probably experienced a hypnagogic event and went back to sleep. Riley, did I pronounce that word correctly?
I think he did. And I was like, where's he going to go with that one?
That's never heard that word.
That's a lot of word.
Yeah.
Riley, Google hypnagogic event and see what
maybe
comes up.
Maybe it's gogic. Hypnagogic.
Could be gogic. I think it's gogic.
I like how you said it.
Feel free to correct me in the Instagram comments of this episode.
Endlessly and repeatedly.
The same thing happened the next night. I was drifting off to sleep and I felt a bop on my left foot. This time I wondered if I had experienced a leg spasm, so I lay in bed and jerked my leg, trying to repeat the sensation. I could not. And that sound of a hand striking the blanket, that was impossible to replicate from under the bed covers. That night, I slept with the lights on. And the same thing happened the next night. As soon as I turned out the light, bop. This time, however, I had literally been lying awake in the dark, waiting for it to happen. So I was definitely not dreaming. On the fourth night, we're going into night four of bops.
Yeah.
I asked for advice on Reddit. Don't laugh. Sometimes it's useful. Hey, I get it. I'm not laughing. Mm-hmm. I'm learning that Reddit is a very informative place. Mm-hmm. Somebody commented that I should just tell the ghost to go away. So that night, before I got into bed, I said out loud to the empty room, "You are not allowed to disturb my sleep. You are not allowed to touch me. This is my house, and you don't belong here." And nothing happened that night. Or since.
Whoa.
I still don't know what the hell happened to me. I've lived in this apartment for 5 years without experiencing anything unusual. I've acquired no spooky antiques. I've not taken up seances or Ouija boards. In fact, I've never had any kind of ghostly experience at all. So, did some random ghost just show up in my apartment and disturb my sleep for 3 nights? If so, why? As bizarre as this experience was, it also seems rather subtle as supernatural encounters go. I saw no terrifying apparitions, and I received no mysterious messages from the great beyond. It was just something bopping my foot, trying to keep me from falling asleep. I'm tempted to just forget about it, but I can't. It makes me wonder if these kind of subtle supernatural events happen all the time, but experiencers just brush it off and never talk about it. Love the show. I think about you guys when I hike in Leominster State Forest. If I see Bigfoot there, I'll give him a BCC sticker. Please do. Frost.
Nice.
I believe it.
Totally.
Well, just a couple of things. I'm just going to jump in because I think it's an important message that people know that this is mostly how it goes down. I think the bigger things that he, you know, was it Ross? Okay. The bigger things that he talked about, like, you know, apparition. I don't even say it right. That's how rare it happens. I won't even say the word right.
Apparition. When
you, yes. I always get that word wrong. Those things and all the big scary things that people push in movies and TV shows are pretty not the norm as this is. And usually when it's friendly like that, it's someone you know that is connected to you. Getting touched, getting poked, getting touched like that is really, really common. Happens to me a lot of time. And what he did is exactly right. When you say, I don't want that to happen. And the reason why it stopped is what tells me is it is someone you know, because family members aren't trying to freak you out. They're trying to be like, hey, what's up? They're not trying to keep you from going to sleep. You're in the dream half wake state. So that's when you're going to be a little bit more open to it, where your mind's going to sleep. So you don't fight the experience and your spirit's opening up. So when you say, hey, I don't want to do that right now, usually the ones who are definitely loving and not trying to freak you out, just trying to get your attention, they'll just go, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to freak you out, and they'll stop. So it's very common. And he's right. Most people brush it off. And so it was good that he paid attention.
And now they just told that family member, leave me alone. And now they'll never know.
Well, that happens. That happens. I've had people say, oh, you know, when they have seen something, they'll be like, oh, my grandmother appeared to me, and they freak out. Like, people always say they want these things to happen.
Until it happens.
Until it happens, like Dylan. Like Dylan.
No, yeah. No, I have a don't happen to me rule. I stayed in New Jersey, and I stayed in this house, and literally my comforter, like, it like bubbled up, and it was like, it wasn't floating, but it just like, it like did some crazy shit. I was like, hell no. I've had my dog sit on my bed. That's
good.
A long time. No, I know, but I definitely believe it. Like, I think dogs and stuff like that. I think Adela is 100% right. In terms of, it doesn't happen. I think people like they watch these movies like The Conjuring, and they're like, yeah. Oh, something's going to appear and be all skeletal. And it doesn't really happen that way.
Right. So he's totally experienced it. And even if you notice, this is what I was saying earlier, he's being very logical. He's like, well, I don't know, maybe I had a leg spasm. It's usually going to be something you're kind of feeling like, I don't know, quite sure. I'm not saying all the time. There are some crazy things that happen, but this is the most common. And so, yeah, if he wanted to kind of go, hey, I'm not sure if this was someone I'm connected to, you can throw out, this is just for him to know, say, hey, can you give me a sign? Something not while I'm sleeping would be awesome. And something a little less, you know, intrusive in that way. And if you're trying to get my attention, it's not, everyone always thinks the dead's trying to give you some big, big message, but it's usually just, you know, hey, I just want to let you know I'm existing still.
I love it. I wonder if Ross had anyone, not that this matters, the proximity to it, but I wonder if anyone had recently passed.
It doesn't, It doesn't have to be recent. That's what the thing is. Sometimes it's someone who's like, hey, you're kind of open to this stuff. Like, maybe if he got into this stuff recently and he's being more and more into it, they're like, so now that you're kind of really paying attention, maybe you want to talk to grandma or grandpa or a friend or whatever, someone who might have even passed quite a while ago, but you're now kind of game, you know?
We heard you listening to those BCC boys.
Exactly.
All right, Mystic Dylan, I sent you an email with two stories. I'm going to have you read both of those tonight.
He's going to read them because he's better at it. I asked him to.
Really, though?
You are. We do our podcast, you have all this fun performing-esque type of tone.
So why don't you read us the first one in that email, Dylan?
Yes. I just wanted to make sure. This is the one about the phantom kangaroos?
That is correct.
Of course.
What else would it be about?
Come on, Dylan. Come on. You know about those phantom kangaroos.
Now, the phantom kangaroos was a reference to a conversation that we had with Derek Hayes at the beginning of October in his episode.
Okay, so here we go. Oh my God, I can't believe you guys just said phantom kangaroos. I have to preface this with I've only been listening to your podcast for about 6 months, and I love it so much that I've been listening to each episode starting from the beginning. So, it was a happy accident when I ended up with the latest episode before I knew I was out of sync. Anywho, here's my story for you. My sister and I were about 10 and 7 living in Pittsburgh in the late 70s. We were outside feeding our dogs and rabbits after dinner. It was later in the year, so it was dark. We lived on top of a hill of a sort of... We lived on top of a hill of a sort, and all of a sudden, over the top of the hill and towards us came this monster walking. Running? Hopping? It was weird. Pinned back ears and eyes that freaked me out. My sister and I both ran screaming into the house and told our parents. I don't remember their reaction, and I don't remember where the dogs were or where they ended up. Didn't care. I do know that I was, that it was every, wait. I do know that it was every sister for themselves that night, and if we even went to sleep, I'm pretty sure we shared a bed. It wasn't until I was in my 40s and I was rehashing this story for a speech I was doing for Toastmasters Club that I had the realization that this monster of my childhood may have been a kangaroo or a wallaby. Still, a far-fetched story when you live in the middle of Steel City, right? Until I hear Derek Hayes on your latest podcast sharing the listener's account of the Black Panther that was out of place. Then someone mentions the Phantom Kangaroo and explains it, and well, I had no idea this was a thing. In conclusion, thank you guys for solving a lifelong mystery my sister and I shared for years. It turns out to not be quite as exciting as seeing a cryptid, but at least we know we aren't too crazy. Love your show. Keep up the great work. Lisa.
Okay, first of all, I don't know how many answers we provided here because I just have more questions.
Right. I have a lot of questions, but yeah.
First of all, what speech were you prepping for your Toastmasters Club?
Yeah, that sounds like a fun party.
That brings up cryptids. Secondly, what's a Toastmasters Club?
Thirdly, Toastmasters just kind of... It's kind of an old school thing. Goes way back. People used to take these classes to learn how to speak in front of people.
Oh, cool.
It was, it was called Toastmasters because it's like learning how to do a toast at a party or something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was the, you know, the shtick name. And it was for people who had like fear of speaking public. So they would give these workshops.
That's cool.
Well, now I'm disappointed because I thought it was a culinary thing.
It was way before like your
toast?
Time, Dylan.
Just a bunch of chefs learning how to master toast.
Yeah.
Perfect toast.
And I thought you were maybe making a cryptid toast.
No, she probably was like, this will be a great, you know, story that I can learn how to speak in public. Yeah, I was thinking to myself, wow, that I haven't heard Toastmasters in forever.
Well, the thing about this, Lisa. Listener, is that the Phantom Kangaroo thing is like they're not supposed to be there, so it's either like it actually is sort of a cryptid situation, which is like, why is there a kangaroo running around here, or it's some sort of escaped animal situation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, have you seen? I don't know what they're called, but like there are those giant hares or giant, like there are some giant ass bunnies out there, like humongous bunnies.
That's Miss McDill's conclusion. Big ass bunny.
Because they said it was pinned
a
back.
A real BAB, if you know what I mean.
Yep. It's a big ass bunny.
They said I have seen them. There are some ginormous ass rabbits out there.
Mystic Dylan is running into a lot of phantom babs out there. Like, really?
Yeah. Stuff. I could see a whole Lisa and the Phantom Kangaroo franchise, you know?
Yeah.
They have adventures and they get into hijinks and
you should just
it's great.
Or what if it was an abandoned zoo? Like sometimes, like what if there was a zoo that pitched a tent and then when it left, it accidentally forgot its wallaby.
Mm-hmm.
I like
pitched
it.
Pitched a tent. I don't know. They're pitching.
Are you
tripling? I got it. I got what you meant.
I mean, like, I don't know how zoos set up. They're in like in little tents, right? I don't know. The traveling zoo.
Lisa and the Wandering Wallaby. Yeah. A sequel.
It's my next like,
kangaroo.
It's like in Red Dead Redemption when they had he had to go capture animals.
Yes, and, for the zoo guy. I know what you're talking about.
The zoo guy. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yep. I get it. All right.
We're gonna
take a quick break. When we come back, more L Files with Adela and Mystic Dylan. Mm-hmm. Well, it seems that Neonis has claimed another victim. Mystic Dylan did not make it past commercial break. We're thankful that he got to stay with us as long as he did, but he has vanished, and now it's hashtag where's Mystic Dylan. Mm-hmm. Actually, his computer just ran out of juice, and he didn't have his plug. So,
oh, darn. I thought maybe it's with Keanu.
That's as you learn from folklore. That's one way to end up in the jet ski dimension.
That's true. That is
true. Go on a podcast and have your computer run out of batteries. So you end up in the infinite pool.
That's how. Maybe that's how it happened to Bryce.
Oh, maybe. Wait, now we're putting the pieces together.
Now this is all adding up. All right. Well, we better get back into these letters, these L files here. I'll kick this session off. I've got one here that says, hey, BCC and guest, that's Adela. Last time I told you a story about my witchy baptism when I was a little boy. Now I'll share a mini anthology of some events that happened not long after while living in that semi-rural area abroad in the early 90s. Belief in the supernatural realm was common and normalized there. Nature spirits were a fact of life. Some were benevolent, some were tricksters, and some were spiteful or dangerous. But all were to be respected. Not to imply that they're connected, I don't think they are, but here are some accounts that took place after the baptism.
Wait, Michael, just to pause real quick. Yeah. Let's just refresh everyone on this baptism, because it was like there were shadow people, right? And like, what was the deal? I remember this letter.
This was
crazy.
Santander who wrote this in, Santi. Yeah. I don't fully remember either, but I think
Grace
was
read
in
this letter.
One. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like they like started like kind of normal, and then as they took their robes off, they became these like spirit realm people. Santander's is a trip, is what we've learned. Yes. Just to set this up.
So was this like a coven initiation?
Okay,
kind of felt like vibe.
I don't think it was a coven initiation. Yeah. It was let me see. I'm going to pull this up here. I've got the letter here if we need to cut. This is not how you vamp.
Oh, I love it. I love a good vamp, Michael. You got it. You stay on that high wire.
Yeah, I can't totally remember.
Their days. I can't either. I just remember it was like heavily psychedelic.
Okay, were they on psychedelics?
No, like the writing and just the whole story as it was told.
Oh, I see.
I believe he was a baby. He was a little boy. So
a tripping little baby.
Anyway.
Okay.
Listeners, you go look it up. Okay.
It's in enough. Grace reads it. It's great. You'll love it. Okay. Go listen.
Great. All right.
Sorry, I interrupted your letter.
Let me go back. All right, so here's the first of three short. And by the way, all a paragraph each. This is great. Santi, here we go. Number one. Monster on the roof. A local witch doctor once helped protect my mom from a fetus devouring creature during her pregnancy. These humanoid creatures were called tick tick, which is an onomatopoeia for the sounds they make while they're nearby.
Nice.
Thank you.
I like it.
I was told that one was recently spotted on my neighbor's roof, who was also pregnant, so the neighborhood helped fortify our house. I remember helping put charms and garlic in and around the house, a line of powder, salt, across any openings, probably, I would guess, windows, doors, etc., and watched my neighbors stick knives all around the walls outside of the house, which supposedly deters these creatures as metallic things harm them. Nothing happened at my house to my knowledge, but one night while my cousins and I were out patrolling, quote unquote, we saw something from a distance laying on the roof of a neighbor's house. It was humanoid and crawling on its stomach, just waiting. We just ran to our individual houses at that point. Whoa.
Yikes.
I'm going to say a big old no thanks to the tick tick. I'm going to buy a house that's just one giant knife because I don't want that thing coming near me or my pregnant wife, which in this story, I'm lucky enough to.
Rosemary's baby. Yeah.
Yikes. No likey. Two. Horseman. All right, Santi. This is getting wild.
I'm saying Santi's a trippy dude.
My mom's friends, a couple, came to our house in a panic one night. I mean, this neighborhood is just full of supernatural activity. My mom rushed me to my room and told me to go to sleep. Sure. Being the rebellious kid. Yeah. Okay. I saw something crawling on the roof the other day. Now this woman came over to our house screaming, time for me to go to bed. Right. Being the rebellious kid, I decided to listen in instead. Nice. Supposedly, an entity had been trying to abduct the wife for some time now, and the reason they came that night was because this entity followed her home and appeared to her in the mirror, which her husband also witnessed, and they ran immediately to our house. This entity they were referring to was a forest spirit called Tik Ba Yang, which usually depicted as a man with a horse's head. Known for misleading people in the jungle. Oh my god. I think he's at my door right now.
He's there.
Known for misleading people in the, I said his name and he just, is that how it happens?
Yeah.
In the jungle and trapping them in the Fey realm, forever lost in the woods. It was a common practice to wear shirts backwards when entering the woods, as that prevented us from getting led astray. Occasionally, they steal humans and marry them in their realm, and it was often said that when it rains while the sun is out and a rainbow appears, it's because the marriage ceremony was taking place. I'm not sure what happened to the wife, but I honestly don't remember seeing her after that in retrospect. But he saw a lot of rainbows, I'm sure. Oh my god, these are so great.
Man, okay. Yeah, whimsical, supernatural childhood this person had.
Very.
Yeah, the rainbows mean a lot, something different than they did for Noah and his crew. here we go. 3, the moths.
Wow. Okay.
One night, my mom, little brother, and I were watching our nightly show before bedtime. All the lights were off, and the only source of light was coming from the TV. Out of nowhere, a moth flew on the screen. Then 2, then 3, then more. My mom turned the lights on, and suddenly it was like a scene from a movie. Hundreds of moths in our living room. There were so many, it seemed like every inch of the room was covered. My mom quickly ran my brother and I into her room and closed it. It's the moment something funny's happening, these kids get sent straight to their room.
Yeah, good.
She told us to stay inside until she came to get us. So we did. Minutes later, she came back and said everything was okay. She showed us the living room, and I was shocked to see it was pristine. There was not one moth in sight, not even a dead one. I never questioned it as a kid, but now that I'm older, it is a bit of a head scratcher. There's no possible way she could have gotten rid of that many moths in such a short amount of time. Vacuums didn't really exist then either. And I distinctly remember moths covering the walls, flying all around her living room, and crying throughout the whole thing because there were so many landing on me. In BCC terms, what the hell was that? Much love, Santi.
Wow.
Wow.
I mean, your mom was clearly, you know, obviously, like, knew how to banish moths out of the living room.
A little witchy. Yeah.
She's on the level. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you grew up in, like, a mystical village, it sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah, with a mystical mom.
Yeah, with we're all jealous.
For sure.
I mean, I don't obviously know enough about this culture to be like, oh, she did the moth thing. You know what I mean? I don't know what brought the moths, but clearly your mom knew how to get rid of them. If she's still with us, I'd love to find out, like, I don't know if it's possible. If you can find out, do a little more research and find out maybe what that was about, or if this is like a thing.
It definitely sounds like she knew what it was and knew what to do.
Yeah.
Well, those things, it's really common that I've had the weirdest encounters with animals, but mostly insect, different types of things that happen. And I've learned that my sense is that his mom is very in touch with the earthly realm. I tend to be more in touch with the other realm. So I feel that the weird things that's happened to me is this realm going like, we also have magic in this realm, and they get my attention that way. So that is definitely connected to the other realm using, insects or different things like that to, you know, working with her, and she knows how to communicate with that. Whoa. So in other words, it's just a manifestation using mm-hmm. what already exists here. Right. So those energies talk to each other. I've had things like one time I got into a car and it was like stepped into the car with Citric, and he just got the car, and I've never seen this. I grew up in LA, and all of a sudden a lotus just flew towards me and onto my face, and I freaked out, and he didn't believe me. And it's like, cause I've never seen that growing up here.
A locust or a locust. Lotus flower?
I mean, a locust. Okay. Sorry. I said the wrong thing.
Yeah,
a locust.
Different than a lotus. Yeah.
Yeah. Not a lotus flower. That would have been pleasant. Really. That would have been nice. Yeah. This was a locust, and it flew like onto my face. I've never seen those. I grew up in LA, mm-hmm. and he didn't believe me. And he had to pull over, and I said, it's there, it's here. And it's one of those things you can go, oh, well, it happens. But for me, it definitely felt connected to where I'm always interested in certain types of energies and the underworld. And, you know, obviously it's what I do. I've had numerous things like that. So my sense is that she's very connected to those things and works with those things. That's why she knew how to get rid of it.
What do you think the message of the locust was?
You know, I just, at the time, there was a lot of change happening, and it could look at as a negative, because when you look it up, it's all about the plague. Well, I don't know. This was before COVID. It was probably about a year before COVID. Mm. And people kept saying, yeah, it was actually a year before COVID. And people kept saying like, oh, it represents the plague. And I was like, well, what does that have to do with anything? And that's the only thing that came up.
Interesting.
And that's the only thing just now that you're asking me, I never even connected the dots, because at the time I just was really searching other things that's happened to me. I could connect the dots, you know, but this was super random. I thought
getting a little omen there.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I get the feeling she knew what she was doing and knew what she was working with.
Yeah, I do too. Mm-hmm. Santander, awesome stories. Keep them coming. Super I know you awesome. Have more. Okay, great. Riley, why don't you read your next letter?
Okay. Hello, everyone. Love the podcast and recommend it to absolutely every person who enjoys podcasts. Thank you. I've had a big interest in aliens and UFOs, UAPs, since I was a young child. When I was 8, I'm 39 now, my parents got my brother a book about alien abductions. He tossed it aside, but I read that book several times. The reason why is the story that I'm going to tell you. But I'd like to start by saying that I've always believed this was a dream, but it is so vivid and has stuck with me throughout the years. I get goosebumps when I think about it. I live with my mom in a two-story condo. Her bedroom was downstairs and mine was upstairs. I was 6 years old at the time. One night, I was in my room trying to go to sleep. I was having trouble sleeping, so I was playing with my toys. I remember that I wanted to go look outside my window. I've always been afraid of the dark, and this was the exact opposite of what I would do because it was dark outside. I walked to my window, which faced a brick wall. Beyond the wall was a field. I didn't see anything except the night sky, but when I looked down, that's when I saw it. I saw a person right below my window. Except it wasn't a person at all. It was a humanoid being that had large, almond-shaped eyes. It was glowing in the moonlight, and it was staring right at me. I'm getting goosebumps right now telling this story. I remember the feeling of absolute terror. My stomach dropped, and I wanted to run away, but I was stuck to the spot in my room. I couldn't move. To my horror, once the being and I locked eyes, it proceeded to climb up the wall and come towards me. Oh my god, climbing alien. The next thing I know, I am in my bed and it is morning. I immediately ran downstairs to my mom's room. She was up and getting ready for work. I never said a word to her about the dream, but I absolutely refused to sleep near that window as well as in her room by her window. That was where it was standing. Over the years, I've thought about it here and there. It very well could have been a dream. It was likely it was a dream. It sounds like she's convincing herself it was a dream. I cannot.
A dream.
It's definitely a dream. I'm for sure, 100%. This was definitely a dream. I cannot shake the fear that I felt that night. For years, oh god damn it! I just jumped in the document. So
you're
far.
Okay to scroll up a little bit. I see where you are.
Okay. Sorry, Katie. I'll probably edit this out, but maybe I won't. For years afterwards, I was terrified to be sleeping next to a window. I went to London when I was 19, and I remember I stayed on a farm where the windows had to stay open or else it was unbearably hot. I started crying and shaking from having to have that window open, but no one, including myself, could figure out why it caused such a reaction to me.
Wow.
Oh, damn. That's like X-Files episode.
Some, like, drama.
Uh-huh. I'll leave you to decide what you think may have happened. If you do decide to read this story, we did, I'd love to know what you think happened. Thanks for the laughs and the podcast, and also wanted Michael to know I am also terrified of the communion book cover as well. Thank you, and go get regressed, Katie.
No, Katie, you get regressed because you were abducted by an alien.
Yeah.
I don't know, Katie. That's creepy.
Yeah, that feels pretty real.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know. My sense is that, you know, that's not like so out of the box. You know what I mean? It's like she's a kid, and kids tend to kind of, you know, obviously see things, right? And kind of, you know, not sure what they're seeing. But my experience is that kids are just way more open to those things, which is why it happens a lot to kids. And mm-hmm. she's not like saying anything too crazy, right? It's pretty no. right. So it's
just it, and she, Spider-Man she, alien crawling up her
climbing up a wall.
But she could have perceived it as climbing, but maybe it was floating.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's my sense, as your kid brain goes, it's climbing up the wall. What else could it be doing? Right?
Yeah. I mean, the window phobia later in life, and the reaction
right.
on the trip, I think, is an interesting observation.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and then the, like, suddenly it's morning, could be missing time. Look, we have to acknowledge that she says about six times this was probably a dream, so I get
right.
it.
Right.
But I don't know. The terror certainly feels real. And, yeah, I don't know. It's, look, probably a dream, but maybe. It was an alien coming.
I'm saying no dream. I'm saying no dream.
Just saying definite alien.
Because your dreams, you have dreams and you remember them, right? And you're like, oh, they freak me out. But you don't be an adult and then suddenly have a fear of windows.
Yeah, no, it's wild. Wild stuff.
Right.
Very yeah. wild.
Michael just wants to believe it's a dream so he could believe his experiences are dreams.
No, I know mine wasn't. Okay, Adela, why don't you read that little letter we got for you?
Okay, sure. Hey, Michael, Bryce, Riley, and Adela and Mystic Dylan. After you reposted my story on the BCC Instagram, I thought I'd write to tell you what happened.
So I'll interject real quick here. Sorry. Sure. A couple weeks back, someone had tagged us in an Instagram post that they had successfully summoned a UFO and didn't get a picture of it, but took a picture of the area over which they had managed to do this. So
I remember
anyway,
this.
Take
yeah.
it away.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. I live in Hong Kong, right on the ocean, and I often go down to the rocky shoreline of the little bay in front of my studio to watch the full moon rise over the water. While I was sitting there on the rocks last night, I couldn't help thinking about you recently playing the clip of Demi Lovato talking to Kesha about trying to summon UFOs with Dr. Stephen Greer. So I decided to give it a try. I quietly said to myself, if there's anything or anyone out there that wants to make itself known to me, I am here and want to see you. And then didn't really think much of it after that. Maybe 20 or 30 minutes later, I saw an extremely bright light flying across the sky at an amazing speed that looked just like a shooting star, which was actually what I thought it was at first. All of a sudden, though, it stopped on a dime and stayed floating in the sky for maybe 10 seconds or so.
Whoa.
Then, like before, it shot off into the clouds over the horizon. I was completely alone and couldn't help but feel like it was just for me. Coupled with it passing very close by the rising full moon, it was really amazing and special experience that I have all of you to thank for.
Whoa.
Thanks for making such a fun and amazing podcast. It's truly one of my favorites, and I can't wait for the jet ski special, Peter.
Whoa, right, cool.
On. Yeah.
What do you think about
thanks
that?
Thanks to Demi Lovato and Kesha for the...
Yeah, I have a quick question before we think about that. What do you guys think about the Demi Lovato thing?
You know what? Guiltfully, I have not watched it yet. I got to watch that show. Okay. It's on Paramount or Peacock. I can't remember.
Yeah, they keep Paramount. I think it's Paramount because they keep advertising it.
And I know that, you know, this is something she's been doing for a hot minute. And then obviously, like, was like, hey, we could probably make this into a show. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I think, look, this to me falls under, I really don't know enough about the Demi Lovato thing other than to say that she has gotten results. And according to her, and this is a perfect example of like Peter setting an intention and manifesting something and like getting a result, right? Whatever the, whatever this was, whether this was literally responding to his like, hey, come out and see me. It happened. He sent an intention. He got a result. This is kind of like a little magic ritual at play here. Cannot explain it. Don't know what it means, but it's a cool thing. And I think this is a thing where like, whatever it means to Peter is what it means. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, the one thing I know from my experience of talking to those beings, they have said two things. One is we talk to whoever wants to talk to us, or we'll show up to people who are interested. But they've also said many people are scared of us, so we can't go the full throttle for when it's in this way where someone's like, hey, I want to talk to you. You know, can you show up for me? Then they do say, like, if we really did show up, you might freak out. But they also have said, like, people who are kind of more tuned into this type of thing, more intuitive, more, you know, it's not just about the open mind, but if you also kind of are more willing to be telepathically communicating, things like this, then they try to do that. So I do believe that, because I've heard that, like, we are interested if you're interested, but they also are interested in people who are taking it seriously, who aren't like just playing around. And they also kind of know most people get a little scared off. So, I mean, I do feel like that stuff could happen if you're open to it. You know, it's just a telepathic communication.
Yeah, that's all.
That's all it is. Chiming in there as well once again.
See, animals know.
I like that this is a peaceful moment for Peter, and really nice, I would recommend Pete. Continue to do this. Keep alive. Try it. Like,
definitely.
See, like, start keeping track if you get results, and then like keep a little journal. I like that it was like 20 or 30 minutes later, so it's not necessarily immediate, but I would start like making a routine. Sounds like you already do this on the full moon. Just like maybe every full moon, go down and try this every time and just take a note and keep a log if you get results or not.
And also for anyone listening interested in summoning UFOs, check out our Patreon. The other side, where there's a guided meditation on making contact with extraterrestrials.
Yeah. Right.
Check that out.
Composed by the man himself, Riley Bray.
Yeah, that was a fun one.
Yeah.
All right.
I definitely believe that.
Cool stuff, Peter. And I also love that we're getting letters from Hong Kong and Argentina.
Yeah, so cool. All around love the world.
Okay, here we go. They say, I would like to preface with saying my house is directly under several airplane flight paths from KCI and the downtown airport. I was a little further south, a Johnson County Municipal Airport. So I am well acquainted with what those lights look like. Also, I will not begin to assume what the origins of the lights from these two experiences were. I will leave that to you. But they were both odd regardless. This first happened mid-September 2021, so just recently, early morning on the way to work. I was facing west, driving toward the light that would take me to the on-ramp of I-35 South. I'm mean, guys, I know where all these things are. When I notice a single, very bright light in the sky right over the tree line moving slowly from north to south at a steady altitude, meaning it wasn't descending. As I approach the traffic light, I looked away from the light in the sky for 2 seconds. And when I looked back, it was gone. At the speed this light had been traveling, there is no way it would have dipped below the tree line out of view. I really have no clue where the light would have been hidden. It just seemed to vanish. The second occurrence, was last Friday night, October 15th. I was at Burnt Ends BBQ in Overland Park, Kansas. They wrote OPK, but I know exactly what they're talking about.
We're not in the know.
Local knowledge.
Sorry, this is like on memory
local
lane.
Local lingo. Okay, cool.
And looked up, I believe, towards the south and saw a similar single very bright light in the sky. As before, it was not moving fast, but after viewing it for about 10 seconds, the light went out. However, I could see a faint dark dot still moving across the sky at the same speed. It never zoomed off, but continued to move at a steady pace. My other strange UFO experience happened while I was very young, growing up in East Texas. I was standing in my front yard, and I looked up to see a silver dot zigzag across the sky before quickly taking off. Who knows what any of those things were, but regardless, they were odd, and I hope worth sharing. Thank you for making such an enjoyable podcast that entertains and sometimes gives me nightmares. Have a wonderful day.
That's our goal. We make you laugh. Yep. We make you sweat the bed.
Yeah. When you're driving home from work, you're feeling really good. And when you're going to bed at night, you're like, why did I listen to
that? Freaking out.
Yeah. UFOs. You guys
Sounds like
UFOs?
You saw some UFOs.
Pretty
much that.
For sure.
Take a page out of Peter's book. Go out there on your coffee, you know, in the morning or whatever you're doing in the evening. Have a little moment. See if you can summon them. See what happens.
Or you could just be laying in your bed and talk to them. That works too, guys.
It's true.
No, yeah, but nobody wants space. To do that.
Travel the outer space through inner space.
You can't see the UFO.
But they could. But bed. But we're talking beyond UFO. We're talking the actual being coming into your space.
I don't know if Millie's ready for that.
Okay. Well, no, we're not going to do that.
Avoiding nightmares.
We'll
night.
Snuggle with an alien.
Okay. Start with the moon.
Yeah. Start with the moon. Start with looking in the sky and then take
the sky.
Also, thank you for all of those Kansas City memories that I just went through my head. Okay, Riley, why don't you read us our final letter for this episode?
I will read
And don't
that.
Get abducted if you can.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, BCC. I live in the Middle Tennessee area. He wrote TN, but I knew that meant Tennessee.
Now it's competition.
I know stuff about places.
I know what this abbreviation is.
And I used to go hunting a lot with my dad. We would head out early in the morning, around 4 to 5 a.m., well before the sun came up, so we could get to our hunting spot before the deer woke up for breakfast. This particular morning, I remember, it was a little foggy, misty, and cold. I remember we were driving down the back road, and on both sides were woods. I think I was dozing off because it was so early, but when I looked up at the road on the right side of the shoulder, coming out of the woods was a small dog-like looking animal. It looked mangy, had dark black skin, patches of black hair, very skinny and bony, long snout, and I could see its teeth and pointy ears. It was small like a dog, but with long skinny legs. It looked like it could have come up to a human's knees. It was rather smallish in stature, but as soon as we were coming up to it, and as soon as I saw it for a split second on the side of the woods in the headlights, it was gone back in the woods. I know my animals really well. I can see very well, don't need glasses. I'm very knowledgeable when it comes to all types of animals, but I don't think this was a dog. I don't remember making a noise or saying anything, but Dad looked at me and asked, "What?" I told him what I'd seen, and he believed me. To this day, when I go driving down that road to that spot where I saw the creature, I slow down a bit and look into the woods. But I haven't seen anything like that, or since, or even close to what resembles it. What do y'all think? Abby.
So, I didn't want to spoil this letter with the headline or with the subject line, but this was, she wrote, "I think I saw a chupacabra."
Oh.
I remember saying that in the inbox, and I was like, intriguing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. I mean, look, I trust your Tennessee senses, Abby.
Boys aren't going to trust your ability.
You know, it could have been like a mangy raccoon, maybe.
Wait, I thought she said it was like human. Like, wait, what size are we talking here?
Well, up to the knees.
Up to the knees. That's a big ass raccoon, man.
Dude, I just saw some in my neighborhood. They were big.
I think in those areas it's different than like here in California.
I think we're insulting Abby if we say
that we are a raccoon. Okay.
It wasn't a raccoon.
But it could be like, could it be like a starving dog? Yeah.
It could be a dog with mange or a raccoon with mange.
Yeah.
Right.
Or like even a bear. A bear with mange could be like a really skinny and weird looking.
Oh, that's
You know
true.
What I mean?
Oh, like a There's sick bears bear.
In Tennessee, aren't yeah.
A sick bear could yeah. look chupacabra-ish.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know, but now I'm worried about this animal.
Yeah, exactly.
More fun when
I'm worried about this animal and the, you know, zombie person. I'm worried about them both.
Oh boy, bringing it home. Maybe that's the zombie person's dog. The zombie person's looking for their dog. I don't know. Weird, sounds super spooky, fits the bill for like what you hear of like the West Texas chupacabra, kind of like more dog like and bony. Mm. I just don't know. I don't know. You saw something you can identify.
Yeah,
I mean, agree.
Which qualifies as a cryptid sighting one way or another.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah. Definitely one of those things that I'm sure is creepy, but we're not sure.
Just not sure. Probably
that can be.
Question mark over that one.
A tall, mangy raccoon is my guess.
I don't want to see that either, by the way, coming from not the country.
You know that raccoon is pissed too.
I mean? Gonna eat you.
I opened my door two nights ago, and there was a raccoon just right where.
What are they mean? Can they be mean
in this neighborhood? They're pretty chill. They're just
chill, but they can also carry rabies. So like, don't get any big ideas.
Yeah, we're not friends. I was like, holy shit! But
I saw one pop out of a trash can one time, and it was pretty cute.
They're cute. I do like them secretly. They're so fat and cute, little raccoons.
I still think they can hurt you.
Sure. Oh, they don't touch the raccoons. Yeah.
Okay.
Don't
feed
them.
They can like drive cars and like break into your house and stuff. They have opposable thumbs, I believe.
Yeah.
Squirrels can do that in LA because they're so friendly and used to people. I used to see squirrels take someone's wallet out of their purse and run up the tree.
Little bastard.
Yeah. So here they just get too comfortable.
Now I'm Googling if raccoons have opposable thumbs because I don't want to sound like a fucking idiot.
What?
The raccoon's paws lack an opposable thumb. Okay, good. But they have little tiny hands.
They have those little fingers, though, those little raccoon hands.
Yeah, they have sharp, non-retractable claws. So stay away.
Yeah.
Adela, thank you so much for joining us. Where can people find you?
So, yes, people can find me everywhere on social media. I'm Adela Levine. I have a YouTube channel. I have an Instagram. I now have a Patreon I decided that I wanted to do more information. I've been posting paranormal stories, which seem to obviously be very popular. I've experienced this month because, you know, it's the month that people want to hear that. And I'll do like some little bit of readings on there and some lives. And so if you join, it's $5 and you also get a 35%. Code for a discount off my readings.
Nice.
So it's pretty, I like it because it's like one place I can put content that people are really, I call them like spiritual seekers because people are really, really into this. And if you really want more, that's a better place. But I also have all the free stuff on YouTube, Instagram. I have, if people are interested this Friday night, I'm doing an online seance. There's a few tickets left. You can go to my website, adelalevine.com.
I think that'll have passed since the time this came out.
Oh, gosh. You're right. Never mind. We missed it. But you can come in spirit. Your spirit can be there.
Actually.
Next time.
Yeah. Show up. Like travel.
Retroactively.
Yeah.
I'm calling out the spirits of your family. Right. Of your family and friends. And maybe they'll show up at my seance online.
Love it. All right.
There you go.
I hope at least one ghost listens to this show.
They do.
It's patreon.com/AdelaLevine, I'm assuming.
Right. Yes. Great. Thank Great. You. Mm-hmm.
All right. Also, Mystic Dylan, who we lost. If you're in Southern California, go check out the Old World Emporium in Santa Clarita. Mm-hmm. That's his shop full of mystic goodies. And he has a book out right now called Witches, The Witch's Guide to Manifestation. You can get that wherever you get books. So check that one out as well. As for us, follow us at Bigfoot Collectors Club on Instagram, at Bigfoot Pod on Twitter, patreon.com/Bigfoot Collectors Club, where we will continue to be doing the Patreon, the BCC, the other side, now until January for the rest of you. No regular episodes until early 2022. We had to take a break, but there's, like I said before, there will still be stuff dropping every Wednesday in the feed. Mm-hmm. If you're not a Patreon subscriber, you're going to hear some Patreon unlocks that may, that'll be brand new to you. We got a couple other surprises coming your way. So stay tuned, stay subscribed. We're not really, I mean, we're taking a break, but we're not really taking a break. So yeah, it'll be fine. Yeah. Yeah.
It's almost a vacation, but we're going to keep it alive for you guys. It's too good to walk away.
It's almost a vacation. But hey, if you miss us, come over to patreon.com/Bigfoot Collectors Club. Join us for the other side. See how you like it. Come for a month. Come for a month or two.
Just try it out. Maybe some of these drops will entice you over to the other side.
Yes, indeed. Mm. All right. Speaking of the patron, we're going to say goodbye to Adela. And then Riley and I are going to do some Patreon shout outs and thank all of our newest and returning members. So Adela, thank you again. We'll go check all your stuff out. The rest of you guys, I'm so sad to say, we won't speak to you in this fashion until we're probably until we're off to rescue Bryce in the jet ski dimension.
That's right. We're coming back with him. Hell or high water.
Yeah. All right, everybody. We'll leave you there on that cliffhanger. Until then, good night.
And go get regressed.
Bigfoot Collectors Club is produced by Riley Bray. Our theme song is Come Alone by Sun Eaters, courtesy of Lotus Pool Records. If you like the show, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It really helps get the podcast to more listeners. To support the show, check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/Bigfoot Collectors Club and unlock multiple reward episodes every month.
Okay, everybody, we have some Patreon shout-outs. These are all of our friends who have recently joined or rejoined BCC The Other Side. Here we go. Krista Vick.
Thank you.
Gray Shaffrin.
Oh, it says Gray. Oh, Gray. I think it's a Gray. Yeah. Thank you, Gray. Cool name.
Yeah. Shaylin Chiquito.
Thank you.
Elise L.
Thank you.
Hovel Dillion.
Thank you.
Joshua Board.
Thank you.
Lee M.
Thanks, Lee.
Matthew Cagle.
Thank you.
Waffles.
Oh, thanks, Waffles.
Just Waffles in general.
Just all Waffles. Yeah. Just thanks, Waffles.
Plato's Waffles joined the Patreon. Damian Valencia.
Thank you.
Andrew Manzuk.
Thank you.
Andrew Manzuk. Thank you. Yes. Carson Raycraft.
Thank you.
Why don't you read some names now and I'll say thank you?
Because that job is harder. Morgan Copeland.
Thank you.
Laura Clark.
Thank you.
Dylan Weaver.
Thanks, Dylan.
Michael Martin.
Thank you, Michael.
Crystal,
thanks.
Sharon P.
Thank you.
Tammy Germani.
Thank you, Tammy.
Mark Metzel.
Yeah. Metzel or Metzel. Thank you.
Yeah. Furious Jeff.
Hey, welcome back, Jeff.
Matt. Oh, man.
Nachezel. All right. Do you want me to take over again?
Can you? It is so hard. It makes me sweat.
Oddly, I had a weird time like saying thank you without hitting it too hard. So let's go back to our regular schedule.
Let's do our thing. Yeah.
I'm like, thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Boy, oh boy. Heather Keneally.
Thank you.
Heather Newman. Cumin. Shit.
We're doing terrible at this.
Heather Cunin.
Thank you, Heather.
Derek Hayes. Oh, thanks, Monsters Derek. Among Us. Thank you, yeah. Derek. Jay Freeman.
Thank you.
Danny Vaughn.
Thank you.
Brett Rudy.
Thanks, Brett.
Riley Ray.
What?
Wait a minute.
That's almost my name.
Thank you,
we
Riley.
We should. That's interesting. Thanks, Riley.
Bobo D. Bear.
Ah, Bobo. Thank you.
Is this a circus bear listening to
the
show?
I hope so. I just want a bear just sitting at a laptop listening on the AirPods.
Using his hard-earned dollars to support the show. We appreciate it.
We appreciate you.
Micah Turner.
Thank you.
Kelsey.
Thanks, Kelsey.
Eric C.
Thank you.
Jessica Apollonio.
Thank you.
Andrew.
Thanks, Andrew.
Paul Kudlick III.
Thank you.
Lacey Gurley.
Thank you.
Lacey Gurley, excuse me. The Stapler. Lacey. The Stapler. Okay, we got Stapler. Waffles and we have staplers now.
No, it's just one. It's the Stapler.
Yeah, you're right. That's true.
Thank you, the Stapler.
Thank you, the Staplers. Shit. Thank you, the Stapler. I think that
Ashley Powers
kicking in right now. I better hurry this up.
Ashley Powers. Hang on to the end. This last couple minutes, it's a race against time. Thank you.
Chris Brewer.
Thank you.
Adam Smith.
Thank you.
Mary.
Thank you.
Melkor 19285.
is that one of Elon's offspring? Thank you.
Thank you, Melkor. Tina Fleets.
Thank you, Tina.
Or Flitez, I don't know. Thank you either way. Anthony Golden.
Thank you.
And finally, last but definitely not least, JR.
Nice. Thank you, JR.
Guys, we honestly cannot thank you enough.
Truly.
If you're listening to this, if you stayed this long and listened, that means you're probably one of our supporters. And your support means everything to us. You guys keep this show going. So
true.
You.
We can't express it enough. You guys really do. Like, it's means a lot. It keeps us going. You guys are the best, and we will keep the Patreon going strong while the main feed is taking a short break.
And we're gonna do some fun stuff. We'll be doing some fun stuff between now and January. So stick with us. Join us if you haven't already. All right, now we got to go rescue Bryce. It's time. Neonis has called. He's throw down the gauntlet. Let's go get Bryce.
Let's gas up those jet skis and do this.
Let's go, brother.
All right,
brother. Let's go, brother.
Hell yeah.
Bye, guys. We love you.
Bye.
Hey, this is Eric Molinsky, host of the podcast Imaginary Worlds. Each episode, I explore different sci-fi fantasy genres, talking with filmmakers, novelists, game designers, cosplayers, comic book artists, and anyone who works in the field of make-believe. I also look at the fan experience, asking, why do we suspend our disbelief? You can subscribe to Imaginary Worlds wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, Heather Ashley here, host of the Big Mad True Crime Podcast. If you're looking for a true crime podcast with all of the details and none of the small talk, you have found your people. Each week, we dive deep into a new case and learn everything there is to know, from getting to know the victim and the impact their case has had on those around them, to the investigation into what happened to them and who is or might be responsible. And if the bad guy looks like he might drink whiskey by a dumpster or has the social skills of an ogre, we say it because we were all thinking it anyway. As the name suggests, we get big mad over true crime, and I would love to have you join our incredible community of listeners with big hearts and zero time for small talk. Subscribe to Big Mad True Crime anywhere you listen to podcasts and listen to new episodes every single Monday.